We were praying in the early prayer meeting this morning, just to know that the Lord would really make communion special. I don't know about you, but this morning has been special. It was just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time. And thanks to Steph for ministering in that way, and for Pete working at the back with the things as well. I just really was blessed this morning, and really just got lost in praise and in worship. Just so wonderful that God meets with us in that beautiful way. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we'll turn to God's word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again, we come to you this morning, Lord, in an act of worship. We ask that you would open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from out of your word. Lord, it's not just worship when we lift our hands in praise and thanksgiving. It's worship when we humble ourselves before you to hear from your word, to hear you speaking to us, Lord. And this, Lord, also ministry when we take that on board and we apply it and we live it. So, Lord, please help us this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, indeed, that obedience is better than sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Dave spoke of the hidden good that's found in every affliction. And this is really important, because in this wee fellowship, you know, we were saying at the leaders' meeting on Wednesday night, it amazes us that for such a small fellowship, so many people go through so many things. And we said, is there something wrong with us as a fellowship? And one of the answers came back and says, actually, no, it's no different probably than every other church, except our people wear their heart in their sleeves. Our people just say it as it is. And if there's issues, they'll tell you that there are issues. But Dave was emphasizing, and we need to grasp this, that in every affliction, there is a hidden good. In every affliction sent by God, there is a hidden good. Now, people will think, oh, the opt-out clause there is sent by God. Rule out sent by God for a moment. Just say, in every affliction, there is, for the Christian, a hidden good. And when Dave was saying this, it was reminding me of the words from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, when God speaks and says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the riches of the secret place. Do you hear what God is saying? I will give you the treasures of darkness. In every affliction, there is a hidden good. In every affliction, there is a treasure yet to be revealed by God. And in fact, I was reading C.H. Spurgeon, the Czech Book of Faith, during the week, and he was saying something like, a diamond is all the more bright when there is darkness behind it. If I was just to put a picture of a diamond on the screen, you probably wouldn't see it too well. But if I put it up on a black screen, you would see how bright it really is. And every affliction is the darkness, but there's a diamond in there. So are you maybe in a dark place this morning, enduring suffering, facing trials and hardships or difficulties? Well, look to God, because he has promised there is a hidden good yet to be revealed. Turn with me first this morning to Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 17 and 18. In fact, Shirley had read this last week on the from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and she had read further down, but read a bit earlier, but further down, Jesus speaks these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He says this: do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Then turn, please, to Psalm 119. And we're reading from verse 73 of Psalm 119. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. When Jesus was speaking here, and he was speaking to a massive crowd who had followed him, and he had gone up a mountainside, and the talk that he gave, the teaching that he gave, became known as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus taught his listeners what it is to be truly blessed. And again, I want you to hear this morning. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, taught his listeners what it is to be truly blessed. Such was his teaching, often contrary to that taught by the religious leaders and less burdensome. Jesus still emphasized the importance of the law of God. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Let me put it in our language. Not one comma or full stop will pass away until all is accomplished. You see, the word Jesus uses stressing the importance of God's law, the jot or tittle, is the Hebrew character or the letter of the alphabet of our next section of Psalm 119, the word yod. Now, if we as Christians are the people who believe that all scripture is inspired by God, then it's not by chance that the psalmist begins this yod section with the words, your hands have made me and fashioned me. You see, the word yod means hand. And thus he begins, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Now, see if you actually take time to read this section again from 73 to 80. You will see that it's all about the hand of God. God's hand made me. It fashioned me. God's hands keep me. God's hands provide for me. God's hands guide me. God's hands comfort me. And God's hands protect me. In fact, when he says it is God who made me and fashioned me, it just wipes out the argument for evolution. In that one sentence, evolution is wiped out. Your hands, O God, made me and fashioned me. You, O God, formed me in my mother's womb. I didn't come from a fish out of some stinking pond and a couple of million years later turned into me. No. I always look for the frog and think, who's going to kiss that in the hope that it's going to turn into a prince? The psalmist just wipes it out in a moment without any argument, and we need to be people who believe the word of God, because evolutionists can put up every type of argument they want, but the word of God says, you, O God, fashioned me. You formed me with your hands. Where would the psalmist be if it were not for the hand of God, where would any of us be if it were not for the hand of God? You see, what the psalmist teaches us is anyone who truly recognizes God as their creator will desire to know him and his ways more and more. Think about it. When we didn't know God, we had no interest in God. But when we came to know God because of his amazing grace, which we sung about when we were once blind, but now we see, when we came to know God, we desired to know him more. Those who recognize God as their creator will desire to know him and his ways more and more. They will crave, the psalmist says, they will crave spiritual knowledge and understanding, seeking to have a right spirit within them. When we recognize that God is our creator who made us and fashioned us with his hands, then we begin to understand that he created us with a purpose. We're not just wee bits of clay that God brought up and fiddled about with and then put on planet Earth. He fashioned us and formed us with a purpose to learn his will and his ways for our lives. And when we live as he intended, this is my reading of this section, when we live as God intended us to live, fulfilling his purpose, he makes our lives a testimony, both to those who fear him, but also to those who don't yet know him. We become God's witnesses in the world as people see that we hope in God's word. You see, those who know and fear God will reflect him in and through our lives. And we've all heard the wee stories, we've told them recently at Bible studies, where somebody just out of the blue will come up to you and say, "Are you a Christian?" And the answer is yes. "Yeah, I thought so, I could see it." But we all know those wee stories, because those who know and fear God will reflect him in and through their lives. To some, we will be the fragrance of life. To others, we will be the fragrance of death. Even by afflictions, which God from time to time sends upon us to chastise us and teach us his ways, even in these, God is faithfully fulfilling his promise to bless us and grant us true happiness. You know, someone said, we may at times, each of us, we may at times face suffering and be in troubles indeed, but hey, we're not in hell. We may at times face suffering and be in troubles indeed, but hey, we are not in hell. You see, God's chastening disciplines deliver us from sin and direct us away from the world, drawing us nearer to him, and in doing so, demonstrate God keeping his faithful promise to transform us from glory to glory. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get on to that ship that we think is a cruise liner that's taking us to heaven, and we get it all painted from the grey to a nice bright colour, and we just cruise our way to heaven, and it's just wonderful and never have any difficulties, and we just sail through life. That would be wonderful, but that is not how God has chosen to hone us and transform us from glory to glory. He has chosen hardships and afflictions and trials. And when you look at the blacksmiths, when they're making the shoes for the horse to fit the horse's feet, it has to be put into the fire and hammered and hammered and hammered and put into place and then put on. And it's the same with the Christian. God has to put us into fires, as Billy and I have been discussing about, and burn up the dross in our lives and hammer at us until he hones us and makes us more like Jesus. God's chastening disciplines deliver us from sin, direct us away from the world, draw us nearer to him, and in doing so, demonstrate God keeping his faithful promise to transform us from glory to glory. And you know what? Not one jot or tittle of any of God's promises to us shall pass away until he has accomplished what he has purposed to do. See, this also means, and you need to hear this, this also means that any affliction the Lord blesses us with. Now, we don't see afflictions as blessings. This means, please understand this, any affliction the Lord blesses us with will not end sooner or last any longer than is necessary for us to learn the lesson for which it is sent and find, as Dave said, the hidden good, the promised treasure of darkness. Now I'm going to say this again so that we take this on board. Any affliction the Lord blesses us. Are you afflicted today? Are you going through trials and hardships and whatever else today? Listen, any affliction the Lord blesses us with will not end sooner or last longer than is necessary for us to learn the lesson for which it is sent and find the hidden good, the promised treasures of darkness. You see, through this affliction, the psalmist shows us that we must acknowledge, firstly, that God is righteous in all of his dealings. And he's righteous in chastening us. He disciplines those whom he loves. And it's not about people. And I had this during the week where someone came to me and said, I feel like God is punishing me. And I says, well, I feel awful, very sorry for Jesus because he's getting ripped off. Because Jesus took the punishment for us. God isn't punishing people. God disciplines those whom he loves. Through the affliction, the psalmist shows us that we must also recognize God's faithfulness in preserving us. He keeps us by his power. You see, afflictions come from the same hand of God that offers us comfort and strength and blesses us with the hidden good, those treasures of darkness. Now that leads to this. If we believe our Father in heaven loves us, if we believe what our declaration said this morning, if we believe our Father in heaven loves us and is always good to us, then we must accept that whatever he permits to come into our lives, be it joy or suffering, is also for our good. If we do not believe what his word says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. If we do not believe that, then we cannot believe that God loves us and always does what he does for our good. Well, I do believe that this morning. Not that I want the Lord to afflict me over the next week to test it. But it obviously leads to that, that if we believe our Father in heaven loves us and is always good to us, then we must accept that whatever he permits to come into our lives, be it joy or suffering, is also for our good. I mean, I spoke a while back about needing to see things from our position in Christ, from our heavenly perspective. And the same goes for affliction. Often when we're afflicted, we think God has abandoned us, or God is punishing us, or God has removed his mercy from us. When in fact, if viewed from a heavenly perspective, we actually see his affliction is a reflection of his mercy toward us as he sends it to hone us and to make us more like Jesus. Unlike most of us, when we face trials, the psalmist actually turns to the Lord who has afflicted him to seek for more mercy and comfort. He submits to the affliction as God's dealing with him, but seeks him for the help to endure. There is nothing wrong, like what Austin did this morning. There is nothing wrong when we are afflicted, whether it be with physical pain, whether it be under spiritual attack. There is nothing wrong with coming for prayer. That is, like the psalmist, looking to God and saying, I am in the middle of an affliction here, whatever that affliction may be. But I'm asking you for mercy to endure. I'm asking you to heal me. Teach me whatever it is that this has been sent to me for. Show me the hidden good and let it pass and move on. Like our own situation, when faced with trials and hardships, the psalmist also knows that there are those whose tongues wag and mouths speak lies and deceit. You know, one of the first things you hear very often when a Christian goes through something in their lives, they must have sinned. It's coming back, their past coming back to haunt them. And sometimes it's other Christians who are saying these things. But the unbelieving world also have their wagging tongues, speaking lies and deceit and saying terrible things. Sometimes when others see us struggling or facing afflictions, they point the finger and wrongly accuse us. They think God doesn't love us anymore. God is not blessing us anymore. But what the psalmist teaches us is, leave it with God. Don't worry about what they say. Leave it with God. You see, this is one of the truths of true blessedness, one of the truths of true happiness that Jesus taught the crowd in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my name's sake. You see, the ignorant unbelieving, they don't understand afflictions come from the same hand of God that offers comfort and strength to those who call upon his name. But the same hand will also bring judgment upon the heads of the unrighteous. In times of affliction, we need the support of God's people. We need to turn to each other. Like Denise saying there this morning about this independence. When we are going through things, we become very independent. Like Denise saying, I should have lifted the phone and said to the person and they would have come. When we are going through things, we need the support of our brothers and sisters. But you know what? As I said, as leaders, we ain't mind readers. If you don't tell us, we won't know. If you don't tell other people what you're going through, other brothers and sisters in Christ, what you're really going through, they won't know. So we need to get rid of that independence, look to the Lord and share with our brothers and sisters so that we can pray for one another, strengthen one another, and encourage one another in the Lord. Because none of us are expected to do this on our own. We need to turn to each other, praying together and strengthening one another in the Lord. We need to remind each other, though, of the faithful promises of God, declaring that not one jot or tittle, not one comma or full stop of all of God's faithful promises spoken to us will be removed until he has accomplished all that he has purposed in us and for us. And that's incredible to think, because when you're going through the darkest place and the darkest time in your life, those dots and those tittles, those full stops and commas are very, very important to remind you that God is faithful and he is going to accomplish everything that he has promised you. He's going to do it. Is it any wonder the psalmist ends this section by looking to the Lord whose hand made and fashioned him, saying, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. In other words, he asks the Lord, Lord, give me a sound heart. Give me a sincere pure heart. Give me an understanding, Lord, that I might love you more and love your word more. That I might understand, even in my affliction, that your promises are true and you're going to fulfill everything that you have spoken over me. Not one jot, not one tittle of all of your faithful promises are going to be taken away until you have accomplished everything that you have purposed. See this pure heart that he's looking for, this sound heart, this sincere heart. It is such that it is not ashamed, but rather is confident in God, in his word, and God's faithfulness to keep his promises, even when the psalmist faces the chastening disciplines of affliction. You see, the hands that made and fashioned the psalmist, those hands that send affliction and yet extend comfort and strength, are the very same loving hands into which the psalmist completely commits himself. Where would the psalmist be if it were not for the hand of God? Where would you be if it were not for the hand of God? Those hands that made and fashioned you are the same hands that are working in your life today, even in your afflictions. Those hands are the hands of a loving God. A heavenly Father who loves you with an everlasting love. A love so beautifully demonstrated in the giving of his Son Jesus to die so that you might live. Do you really think your afflictions, whatever they may be, have been sent by God to harm you? In light of that, whatever you're called to endure, like the psalmist, call on the name of the Lord and seek his mercy and comfort. Submit to the affliction as God's dealing with you, but ask for his help to persevere. There is a hidden good. There is a treasure of darkness soon to be revealed for you. And not one jot or tittle of God's faithful promises to you will be removed until he has accomplished all he has purposed in you and for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, once again, we just want to thank you for your word. How wonderful to hear Jesus say that not one dot, not one tittle of all of the promises of God will be removed until you have fulfilled all of your faithful promises toward each of us. And it's hard, Lord, for us at times to really grasp that you send afflictions upon us. You send them, Lord, not to harm us, not to punish us, but to discipline us, to hone us, to make us more like Jesus, but to tell us there is a hidden good. There is a treasure of darkness in there for us. Oh God, please help us to understand your ways. Give us a sound heart, a sincere heart, a heart, Lord, that recognizes that you are at work. And help us to trust you, O God. Thank you for the truth that we have heard this morning. Not one jot or tittle shall be removed of all of the faithful promises that you have made toward each of us until you have accomplished everything that you have said you're going to do in us and for us. And for that, Lord God Almighty, we are truly thankful this morning. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for Jesus, because it's all possible only because of him. We thank you, Lord. Amen.